This week on the Interesting Car Show, it's been about 3.5 years.
We buy some cars.
I say some incredibly boring things about music.
Jacob gets mad at General Motors.
Yeah, I did do that. But David becomes the guy.
Stick around.
God. Welcome back. It's been 3.5 years. Is probably the only way I would start this.
I genuinely feel very terrible that our last episode was "We're back" and then we
didn't
completely did not come back.
Yeah,
it's a shame, but I think for this time,
of you listening,
we might actually be back. No promises, but
yeah, no promises as of yet. But one that you listening, you right now, because we know it's just you. Thank you for coming back to us.
But
we're happy to be back. Episode 21, I think. So we're going to title this episode 9 plus 10,
okay.
And no one's going to get it, but that's cool. It makes me laugh.
I don't get it.
Vine? What's 9 plus 10? 21? Hello?
No, I don't.
Are you serious? Okay, we won't title it that then because no one's going to fucking get it. Okay, anyway, since then, I have purchased 3 new vehicles.
Great.
And David's purchased just the one.
Do they know about the hatchie?
Yeah, here's where we're at, viewers.
Okay.
We're going to be listeners. It's not a video podcast. We don't remember.
we don't remember where we were that many years ago.
We really... Yeah. Since then, whether or not we mentioned it, David has a 2017, right?
Yes.
I can't believe I remember the year. Basically, a facelift, Toyota 86, pretty mint, some hail damage.
Yeah,
that's you got it for a song that was so cheap right
wicked
before
deal.
COVID, right before all the prices went shitty
yeah.
and like
deal.
Wild, dude, it's so good.
I mean, right now I don't think I'd lose any money selling it.
It was such a deal.
And then, I mean, for like, I'm sure it's. I mean, everybody knows at this point that car is great. I know it gets some hate for being slow or whatever.
Yeah,
torque dip, but hey, UELs, I got those on there. I got. Holy fuck. Oh, I really thought I was going to be the one that spilled the drink.
No,
follow my hand. Okay, hold on. Time out.
So you were saying, David.
All right, time back in.
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, I'm sure... I don't. I'm going to keep it brief because I don't remember if I spoke about the 86 before. Yeah, I mean, everybody knows at this point. Great driver's car. Yeah, they're like a little slow, but after... I got like the 3 mods that everyone does to them. UELs, what? Unequal length headers.
Yeah.
So
it sounds like an old Subi.
Yeah, it sounds great. I love it. even though like I'm not the biggest Subaru guy, that car is, I mean, that's kind of heresy because that car is mostly Subaru, but whatever.
Yeah, doesn't it say like Fuji Heavy Industries on the door instead
all
of Toyota?
All over it, yeah. Yeah. No, it's, yeah. I believe the biggest contribution Toyota made was the direct injection on that engine.
Yeah, the D4S thing that Toyota did is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, like, it makes really good power for being a 2-liter. But anyway, yeah, UELs, got rid of the torque dip. I strongly recommend it for any owners. Super solid. I got coilovers that are probably too stiff. The car is stiff anyway.
Bro,
and right
it
now
handles like
it
a
is.
Touring car, which is good if you're in a touring car race, not if you're trying to drive to work.
For spirited driving, it is absolutely excellent, but it is not exactly like a road trip type of car. Luckily, I don't drive around that much,
yeah.
So it's not that bad. And some wheels. And the wheels are sick. I love the wheels.
The wheels do look good. Kind of rally spec.
Yeah, like rally style with the... It's like an inner 10 spoke, and then like there's a ring, and then like outer 20 spoke or something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember what that's called, that design, but
it's
it's a good shape. It looks nice.
It's fun. They're rotos, so, I mean, yeah, they're kind of like reps, but whatever.
you've got that. I've still got the Golf, so TDI. It's been tuned a little bit. Still pisses me off, but it gets me around. So it's, you know, I've had it for like 4 years, as long as I've ever owned a car. And then I'll keep my brief for additions because there's a lot, but basically a 68 VW Bug that I bought for €1. And I think it runs and drives now. Now it did catch fire, but gloss over that. Not on me. That's why I bought it.
And okay, I gotta
the pictures
say,
are lit,
hilarious
dude.
Part. It caught fire right outside of a fire station.
Yes, yes.
Which is just the funniest thing.
Yes, which means it was put out immediately.
Yeah,
and then the owner, because I know the guy.
So it barely caught fire.
Like. It did. It wasn't bad. It melted some wiring, but I mean, the car has like 6 wires in it, and I just replaced all 6 from the back. You know, from the firewall back, because the engine's in the rear. But The highlight of it is the fact that the previous owner told me in that scenario, he was like there having a fight with like the fireman because of like it basically the rear right window, which is the side of the car that was not on fire. So basically, just to keep you, if you're ever around these old air cooled bugs or aware of them, or get one, first thing you should do is replace the fuel line that goes to the back because they dry rot and then that sprays fuel everywhere. Shit happens. And that's what happened to this. If you look around, you see any running around, oftentimes you'll see some warping or some kind of burn mark. Mine is burnt to shit, but it's okay because I went and got a rattle can of International Harvester Red and that kind of matches it. So that's what I did. But awesome. Caught fire. He was having an argument with like the fireman for whatever reason. And then the fireman, you know, doused the thing in water. The back window shattered because obviously it was hot. It got really cold with the water. You know, it's tempered glass. It's going to go.
Yeah.
The rear right window, opposite side of the car that caught fire, the fireman walked up and just punched it and shattered it.
No fucking way.
To piss the guy who owned it off because they were like having an argument on how he was putting the fire out.
That is so funny.
Yeah. And then there was like a cop there and it turned into like a turf war. And he just was like, yeah, fuck y'all. And then, long story short, and then got parked for 6 months and then I found it and I was like, I'll have that. And then he just wanted it gone. So it's fun. That's kind of the story of it. But it runs, it drives. I drive it occasionally. I wouldn't daily it necessarily, especially around here when the minimum speed limit in Texas is like 95 on any highway. But it's very entertaining because I can do 70, which is about all it can do. 75 with a push and 80 down a hill with wind. But it's entertaining. Yeah. It's a riot. And then added to that, I bought an XJ Cherokee two-wheel drive, mostly for towing, to replace the Golf eventually. Probably going to get rid of that. I don't have anything interesting to say on that. I like them a lot, and I want to make this the Cherokee Jeep podcast because I guess that already exists. I imagine it already exists. And it's not four-wheel drive anyway, so I'm like little pussy bitch boy, so whatever. Dude, but I love it.
I like the two-wheel drive one.
It's a truck.
Fuck the haters.
It's a truck with a... You can put five in it and then
really,
keep a bunch of
it
shit.
It really is like a little truck, like...
Unibody, but I mean, its toe's like 5,000 pounds.
Yeah, it can still tow. It's got space. It, you know, two-wheel drive. Yeah, I mean, nothing wrong.
A very robust engine.
Very simple, like, great car to, like, make repairs on if you're looking for something to work on.
Yeah, they're good. Honestly, I'd recommend it because they're still cheap. Like, if you want something, the fuel economy's not great. Obviously, it's not going to be great, but it's not the worst. It's a 4-liter straight six, and it's an AMC design, and I think it's, like... I really like AMC. Like, I just have a soft spot for them. Rest in peace. I know Chrysler absorbed them, but, like, their engines, especially that one, I don't know about all of them. I won't speak to all of them because I don't have experience with them. But they did cool shit, like the Javelin and whatnot. But the... I like it a lot because it's a 97 or 90... It's a 97, which is, like, one of the first years... I mean, the car came out, like, the early 80s.
Mm.
And then they just kept it, revised it, made it to 01. So it's one of those later revisions, which means it's, like, you look at the outside and you go, it's a Cherokee XJ. It's, like, an 80s truck.
Yeah.
But they've done just enough with, like, the cladding and, like, the interior to make it feel, quote-unquote, modern. It's a blow mold injection dash. Like, everything from the 90s was in the States. But even the Chrysler stuff, totally cool. Like, it's... Parts are gettable. Parts are cheap. You can find stuff everywhere. It's very easy to work on. It's one of the easiest cars I think I've ever owned to work on, and it was extremely inexpensive.
Yeah, it's nice. Like, I got under it once. We were doing some brake stuff, and you don't have to lift it.
You don't have to lift it for anything.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I didn't even think about that when working on, like, lifted vehicles, but yeah, you don't have to lift it.
No, it's great. I changed the oil. I could do the whole... like oil pan gasket, which it needs, and like, you know, I could do rear main, transmission seals, all of that. I don't have to touch a jack, which is awesome. I do have to do it for suspension because you obviously got to get the wheels up, but
yeah,
even then, it's like, it's not that big of a deal.
Dude,
it's pretty.
Lifts
so relaxing compared to the Golf to work on because
lifting low cars fucking sucks.
Yes.
Yeah, like I'll talk about the Lexus here in a minute, but boy, the Lexus, like, it's very low. And so, like, I can't even get my low-profile jack up to the front jacking point. I have to jack up one of the corners for the jack to fit underneath.
Yeah.
And then I have to lift it, which is fine. But then lowering it really sucks because I have to eyeball the other jack onto the corner that I lifted in the first place. And then lower the first jack and make sure that when it lowers down, it sets itself down on the corner. And of course I have to do it very gently because I don't want it to smash down
on the jack
because the frame rail, like the little pinch rolls, are already so fucked on that car.
Yeah, I just
heavy car shit, you know. But anyway,
I it's kind of a godsend. I hate to say it, but like I don't really fuck with crossovers. They're still too low. But like this in my mind is kind of the, okay, I'd say it's like the genesis of like what, at least it, in America, if you're listening, if you're abroad, it's going to be very different. But like everyone has a crossover. Everyone has a small SUV. They're all unibody. They're all car based. This is one of the first, I think maybe the first, I don't remember.
AMC Eagle might.
AMC Eagle is pretty close because it's, but they share stuff too. I think there's some crossover stuff underneath. You know, yeah. Like the,
yeah.
So like they did that and then they did the Jeep and it's kind of the square box. But if you compare, I think if we're being honest, technically the one that brought that to the masses is the Ford Explorer because it was cheap. It was based on the Ranger. Mm-hmm. It was very practical. It was, yeah, it was a good car. They had their Firestone tire issues or whatever in the 90s. But I mean, we're way past that. Explorer's a good car. And it's still a good mark, but like new Cherokee is very different. But I think like is a unibody with like I guess kind of a truck engine, but they use it in cars because it's that sort of era.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like the genesis of it. But it's funny because there's more space in it, and it's like 2 foot shorter than the Golf. If I park them next to each other, it's a smaller vehicle.
Yeah, I mean that's what you get with like no crash safety. You
well,
know what I mean?
It's got an airbag.
Yeah, yeah. I mean that's the great thing about older cars is they often have more room inside and they're often really like it's really easy to see out of them because there's not like these giant bars in the way and these like large crash structures. I mean,
I'll get fucked if I get hit by like an F-350, but I would in my own car because
it's true. There's something to be said, and I mean, controversial take. There's something to be said, like with the loss in visibility that you get for door pillars, and how infrequent it is to experience a rollover, And the big pillars are there for rollovers, like very specifically. Yeah. Like in other accidents, you don't really, you know, hit those large pillars that heavily. Like, do you like? Statistically, do you get into more accidents and do you get into more trouble because of the loss in visibility?
Yeah, and the increase
that's
in
not
weight
my thing to say.
It's
safety related. I'm sure someone's thought about it, but just something I've thought about.
Hot take, but I think a lot of the new driving aid stuff that's coming out is long term. Okay.
It's going to make people worse
drivers.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people say that, but it's just like the reason I say that is like, even me, who's into this subject, we've got this fucking show and whatever the hell else. When I was younger, I used to, like I mentioned, I used to work at a car dealership, moving a lot of these big trucks with all this new stuff. Go to my parents' house, helping my father with like the truck he had at the time, moving it. And I just drove straight over a tree because it didn't beep at me because I got used to it. And I hate to admit that because it's so depressing.
That's so funny.
But like, granted, very few people I think are like us where they go, oh, my cars, I've got a 13 Golf, which is like already 10 years old. And I'm like, yeah, my other cars, a 97 Jeep and a 68 Bug. Like, I don't think that's everyone's mix. Yeah. So when I get from my car into the Bug, I go, wow, I can see everything. I'm also terrified because it's about paper thin. It's a trade-off. But don't crash.
Yeah, I mean.
Just don't do that.
Just don't, yeah. Don't crash. That's the safest thing to do, frankly.
Also,
stop crashing.
Yeah, stop crashing. And then stop adding amoxicillin pillars and stuff. Just relax. And then remember that if you have a crash, an accident in a vehicle, they only test those up to 40 miles an hour. And also, it's only based on the weight of the vehicle you already own. So if you are in a Chevy Spark and you go, it's got a 5-star safety rating, which I think it does. Pretty much everything does. And I like those cars on a side note. Too bad they stopped making them. But if you get hit up the backside by an F-550 dually quad cab extended bed doing 70, you're fucked. So keep that in mind.
I mean, you can't physics, right?
Yeah.
That being said, I don't think pillars are. How could they possibly get larger? Because they already have rollover
find
protection.
A way.
You know
they'll
what I mean?
Find a
you know,
way.
I think they're gonna get thinner because they're probably gonna get better at making them. Maybe some new materials or something.
If cars get better,
if they care enough to do something like that.
That's the whole thing there. The other thing is like with these. The other thing I think the trend has to be up for at least the near future, the next couple cycles of cars, because you know they're like 5 to 7 year cycle usually.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I say that, I've just thought of it now, is because at this point in time, a lot of manufacturers are going hybrid or battery electric only.
Yeah.
The weight of those vehicles.
No, that's a good point.
Now, the thing is, that's good because, like, as Tesla's proven, if you have that battery on the bottom, even if you have an SUV and you throw the SUV sideways at a pile of sand, it won't roll over.
Yeah,
because all the weights
center of gravity.
So at that point in time, if cars get good enough at not crashing into each other, regardless of what you do, which is kind of what every company is trying to basically make, and safety's good, but at that point in time, we could probably make pillars smaller if the car's not going to be able
That'd
to crash.
That'd be cool. I miss small pillars, man. It was nice.
No, I did too. It's nice to be able to see. But but you do think, like, you've had an early Miata as have I.
Yeah.
You're driving next to semi-truck, and you go, oh, well, I don't have a roll bar because I didn't add that because it's expensive and a lot of work. And, this car was like $500. Also, I'm doing 75 next to an 18-wheeler that has another, like, trailer on the back of it. And I'm with the top down. It's a little...
Yeah, I think owning Miatas sort of desensitizes you to, like, car everything. Safety. So I totally get people wanting, like, really good protection on their cars.
Yeah,
so I sure. I can't hate, but, like, I'm personally going to hate a little bit because of the experience I've had.
Right? Yeah,
I'm like, if I can still go out and buy a Miata and drive it next to the other civilians driving, like, massive trucks and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know.
That's enough for me. Like, that's the thing. Like, even the new ones, like, I know they're pretty good. And like, crash safety and stuff's, like, way better than it used to be. It gets better every year.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But, you know, it just adds weight and complexity and cost. And I'm a little bit of, like, didn't think I'd really ever say this, but, like, for me, I look at the price. Now, I know now, like, inflation and shit, like, everything's kind of expensive. But when car makers start axing their lower price cars and then not replacing them, I'm like, can we just bring back an older model and, like, have some new tier of FMVSS, or I think that's what, Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standards, and, like, EPA or whatever, that's like, hey, this car, it passed the crash test ratings, the government ones, but, you know, it only got, like, 1, 2, 3 stars or whatever. Just
yeah.
FYI. Like, we can make cars a little lighter with less stuff, and I'm... Mm-hmm. I as a consumer am fine with making the choice of, like, oh, this car costs half as much as the other thing, but it's a mode of transportation that's new and I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not as safe if I get in a crash. Okay, don't get in a crash.
I just won't crash.
Well, yeah. And I don't mean, like, pulling a design from the 60s and going, brand new model. I mean, like, a 10-50, like the Golf in your car,
mm-hmm.
technically last generation. Technically mine's 2 generations old.
Yeah.
Perfectly adequate.
Yeah.
Like, it's got a
knee airbag.
I don't
feel unsafe in it. Yeah.
Like it's got huge pillars. It's heavy as fuck. Like, I'm not, in general, not that worried about it.
Yeah, I think regular car reviews might have said that, like, the MR2, the Toyota MR2,
yeah.
they just can't make a car like that anymore, just because, like, that level of lightness, it's I don't think it's, like, super possible with the current, like, crash ratings.
I disagree.
And stuff. You disagree? I mean, the Miata's still
look at
there,
the
right?
Indy Miata. If Mazda can keep the same formula and keep the balance, Toyota can do that.
Yeah, I know, you're probably right. Mazda is really good at making stuff light. I feel like their models are consistently lighter than
yes.
other cars. I don't know what they do. I don't know what their secret sauce is.
They do some cool shit, because now we're seeing it's been so long. I mean, the last time we talked about Mazda, we were just like, yeah, the Miata and, like, the Mazda 6. But, I mean, aside from the rumors of the hybrid EV, whatever, Miata coming out, which is cool. We'll see what that looks
yeah,
like.
I don't
There's
mind
nothing,
that.
You know, concrete as of now. It's interesting to see what they'll do with it. But the thing is, like, them moving themselves up market a little bit and kind of competing more with, like, a, like, VW, I think. Because Volkswagen, to me, is, like, general, they are average economy cars.
Yeah.
But they're, like, a step up. Like, the interiors are nicer. They're a little more quieter. It's a little bit more thought through. There are more money. But if Mazda is going after that, I think they're going to do well there. And the new cars with, like, the 3.3 or 3-liter, the straight six, the turbo one. Like,
they better put that in a sports car or
that's
something.
That's the other
thing.
I hope they put it in a sports car because it's a really cool engine. And I know it's in some crossovers, but I don't know. It looks cool. And I like their design language and stuff. Tell me if this has ever happened to you.
Okay.
You're with, say, your girlfriend. Go to a restaurant, go do whatever. And you're like, yeah, we'll go to this place. It's night. It's dinner, 7 p.m. or something like that. No valet. You got to find a place to park. There's an adequate parking lot near the place. People going in and out. Pretty busy establishment.
Okay.
Say, like, okay, here, we're here in Dallas, Fort Worth. Say, like, Joe T. Garcia's in Fort Worth. That's a pretty popping spot. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Have you, at any point in your life, been driving looking for a spot, and you go, oh, reverse lights, and it's a General Motors product that someone has unlocked but not gotten anywhere near, or locked when they've just parked, and because GM thinks it's a good idea for, oh, like, it looks cool, the reverse lights are on. So you stop and you wait and they don't fucking move. And all of their lineup for like the past 10 years has this feature. Fuck them.
You know,
I hate it so much, and I want like someone. If you listen to this and you are in any way, shape, or form related to the field of law, just take a look at those federal standards. I bet you could get them out on a technical. Fuck that shit. I'm so like, it should be illegal.
You know, I have not noticed that. I have seen people with reverse lights on, and I wait a few seconds, and I'm like, well, fuck, they're not moving, so I'm just gonna find another spot. I have not noticed on GM vehicles, and that is pretty funny. It's funny to me that they didn't.
I'm sorry, Bruno, for you're gonna see it now.
I'm gonna see it.
No, yeah, no, they clearly didn't think about it. That's what annoys me. It's a big company. That decision, we'll call it that, made it through many levels of management,
mm-hmm.
including the government, who was like, yeah, it looks good, chief. I can put it on sale. And I'm like, fuck that. This is really the only point. I don't even have a point here. I just like, I don't know if the new ones have quit doing it. The reason I said it is like, a friend of mine lived with, she has a Malibu and hers does it.
Yeah.
But she's parking a residential street at night. Like, who gives a shit? But the thing is, when I'm like, we're at a parking lot or something, she unlocks it. I'm like, oh, I feel like a social pariah. Because I'm fucking everyone else's day up with this gimmicky, not even cool or noticeable bullshit. Fuck them.
That reminds me of something.
That's all I have to say. I like Mary Barra, but come on, bro. Get your shit together. Change your... come on, your CEO. Make that decision. Tell them to fuck off. Anyway.
That reminds me of something. Just specifically like automakers overlooking stuff. Like quite serious things.
Yes.
There's this video that this channel called Technology Connections made. Have you heard of Technology Connections? Yes.
I know that.
Are you talking about the Hyundai video? I think it was a Hyundai.
Whoa. Oh, the braking on the Ioniq?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Braking
on the Ioniq. That's so bad.
Dude, it's really bad.
I've seen it. No, I've seen it in person. Okay, we should preface. What we're talking about is there's a YouTube channel, you may have seen it if you listen to this, called Technology Connections. They do various stuff, but then he often has like a car related segment. And he's done stuff on like turn signal colors. Yeah. It's like every once in a while.
He does a lot of like really niche tech-y thing. Usually like old tech.
Yeah.
But he did a thing on EVs. And the thing is, it's like these Hyundais. And go watch this video if you want to like understand it more in depth.
It's full thing. Like, go watch it. It's not very long, but it's very informative.
Okay. Yeah. Usually these videos are pretty long. Maybe this one wasn't.
Sorry, it's an informative. It's a longer form content. It's not like an hour and a half. It's like, you know, 15 minutes.
No, yeah, it's not
or something.
But yeah, and it's basically like these EVs, these Ioniq EVs. They do engine braking. Cool, that's fine. But engine braking on EVs can be quite strong.
Yeah.
And the Ioniq doesn't turn on its brake lights unless you're completely off of the accelerator doing 100% engine braking. But if you're at 90% engine braking, and I mean engine braking like regenerative braking.
Yeah, because and we should preface this a little bit, is like that car, like a lot of new EVs that are coming out, have that
one pedal driving
is what it's called.
Exactly.
It's basically you take your foot off, it's on the brakes, the regen brakes at least, and then you put your foot down, you're on power, but you can just modulate it.
Yeah.
And it's good because it charges the batteries up, it's efficient, you don't use your brakes, you don't wear them out, stuff like that. It's good. It's a good feature for the car to have.
Yeah.
However, the brake lights.
Unlike the most aggressive setting of that one pedal driving, if you're at like 90% regenerative braking, you're not let off the pedal completely. It just won't turn on the brake lights. And at that point, you're stopping quite quickly.
Yeah, you're
like,
going through the windshield. It's
he had
aggressive.
A video and you could hear the stuff in his car moving to the front. Like he was braking quite hard and it won't turn on the brake lights.
No.
And I mean, like I've had it even driving a manual car where it has quite strong engine braking that if I'm engine braking hard enough,
the pedal.
I usually forget to hit the pedal.
Oh, okay.
But I see people like come up on me and I'm like, man, they're getting really up on me. But it's because my brake lights aren't turning on.
Yeah.
And the engine braking is quite strong.
Same.
And people kind of aren't so super used to that because there's not that many manual
especially
cars.
Especially these days.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
There's not very, yeah.
So, but yeah, a really interesting video. I recommend anyone watch it if they got some time.
Mm-hmm.
He also makes great content. Technology.
Yeah, but it's just that basically it's like, it's such a thing that's overlooked. Technically speaking, if you look at the law in U.S., you know, driving laws and all the things that the auto manufacturers have to make, federal motor vehicle safety standards, as I mentioned, FMVSS, you can go look it up. They're all everywhere. I sound like Alex Jones there for a second. Go look. It's all online. Anyway, Go look it up, but in your own time. But
turning the freaking car is gay.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, there's no like credit where credit. Okay, it's not even credit where credit's due. To be fair to them, there's no law that says that. But the basically conclusion of the video is like, hey, if you're doing braking this hard, like, and it's, we should reiterate, it's a firm. You're slowing down.
Oh yeah,
aggressively.
Absolutely, yeah.
You should have the lights turn on. And it was just like, why is there nothing in there? And it's just, I think really it comes down to like, it's time to adjust that law. But I do not understand why, as Hyundai, I can't actually understand their auto manufacturer, but I was like, why would they not include that? And it means they have to add a line of code or add one sensor, and it's a dollar, and that across a shit ton of cars is a lot of money. I get it from that perspective, but come on.
Yeah, I mean, this is something you really shouldn't have missed out on. No. So that's a bummer. I mean, like, you can't catch everything, but something like this, it is pretty glaring. So I really would wish they caught it. I mean, Hyundai is relatively new when it comes to being a car manufacturer.
But
I mean, that kind
been,
of thing is sort of
the thing is, if you're a car manufacturer and you're every generation growing by leaps and bounds, you should.
It's true. They have
you
grown
know they do
a
cool
lot.
Stuff. And honestly, okay, this brings me back to, I mentioned this to David earlier, and there's no context for this, but. This brings the Hyundai that you brought it up is kind of where I want to talk to this. So I like Hyundai on the whole. Now, as we know, especially in their lower tier models for the past like 10 or 15 years or whatever, there has been, I think it's the 1.6 naturally aspirated engine. I don't remember. I don't know if it's a new or gamma. They have all got like Greek letters for their names. The engines in their lower tier cars, let's be honest, are shit.
They blow up.
They blow up constantly. People have said, oh, the reason they do the long warranties, get around lemon laws. But to be fair, if I had a car for 7 years and didn't put 100,000 miles on it, like they should be better built. Now then, that being said, if you go up to like Genesis or Kia or Hyundai, even on like the bigger, the higher, more expensive cars, let's be honest, like I think like things like the Palisade and like the Stinger and like the Genesis models, like they put more money into those. They're more robust. You're probably going to be fine. But like on the whole, like I like Hyundai aside from that. But anyway, I digress. This is something that is like a weird niche specialist subject of mine. But and this might be because I did film when I was younger. But for marketing and cars, this is something I've noticed with Hyundai. So they, and you may, I don't know if you're aware of that. Okay, so like commercials, car commercials, whether it's on YouTube or Instagram, Facebook, or on the TV, like live normal terrestrial television. Have you noticed the
terrestrial?
Yeah, it's not internet based. Terrestrial.
Okay.
Rather than
extraterrestrial.
No, I don't have that yet. Okay. Actually, technically, we do. Maybe satellite TV is that.
I suppose it is.
I guess it is. I had that growing up for a year, and then we got rid of it. Anyway, it's extraterrestrial. So anyway, any kind of television, any place, anywhere you'd see an ad. It's like maybe the side of a web page these days, but. Have you, are you aware of, like, have you seen a Hyundai ad recently for any car, like the Veloster N, Ioniq N, the Palisade, any other cars? Because they've started doing something different that I think.
Not really.
Okay. So the way normally Hyundai, especially from my perspective in general, is a value oriented brand. So is Kia.
Yeah.
They are the cars for anyone. They're cars. They're not like Aston Martin. Genesis is your high trim ones.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Genesis has this too. But what they started doing, and I think, again, every iteration, they seem to get pretty good at design and making cars. I'll be honest. They have their flaws. Every car company has them. I like Hyundai, Kia, and that shtick on the whole. I really like what they're doing. It's new. It's interesting. It's
different.
So we'll just leave that aside for now. But what they've been doing is, like, in redoing their model lineups and things like that, they've got these new ads. And at the end of it, there's a musical tag that is the brand sound. And Hyundai has one now.
Yeah.
And they didn't used to before. So Hyundai's like da 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 da, and it's just like three notes. It's six notes, like da 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 da. It very much like that on a piano. But what they do is they'll take that note thread and then put it on different instruments. So if they've done some cool ones when they came out with the, I think it was like the, they did their retro models from when they first started, like in the 80s, and redesigned them. I don't know if you saw that, but they on those they did it with like a techno sound. It was the same thread of notes.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
Then for like the Palisade, which is like their, you know, higher trim, they don't do body and frame, but like their big 7-passenger SUV, you can plus it up, you can make it real nice.
Yeah. It's like a tuba.
Like, it's like orchestral though.
Okay.
But they do, there is one that's like brass instruments. I can't remember, it was like the I can't remember what it was for. Dude. But they've redone all their sounds recently. And I just picked up on it because I saw a Veloster N ad around the time they... I don't even make it anymore.
Dude, what's the Veloster N? Like a freaking, like, Explorer, like, guitar, yeah. like, distorted.
They've done rock guitar. They've done rock guitar. They've done, like, nylon string acoustic guitar.
Oh, that's
done
fun.
Orchestral ones. They've done,
you
like...
know, this is something I don't think I'd ever notice.
Okay,
frankly.
Yeah, this is probably just for me. But the thing is...
That is interesting, though.
They redid it for Kia.
Movement that inspires.
Genesis has one. So my mother had a Hyundai, my father had a Kia. Kia, I don't remember what he had a Soul, which I hate to say, but it's such a boomer-oriented
so
car.
I think it is so funny that your dad had a Soul, and the engine blew up.
Hilarious. And we replaced it, and then he got pissed off and sold it, and swore to never buy anything again from them.
Yeah,
which
I
sucks.
Can't blame him. I
almost got my mom to buy a Stinger.
Oh, dude, that'd be rad.
And she bought a T1, which I like, but
yeah,
not
I
as
mean,
much.
Still a good car.
The other thing is like, I'll come back to that. It's interesting. Is really I just like it. I think it's cool. I really like things like music videos with music because I think it's a very good like way of doing the art form, and I think it's cool when people try different things in advertising. Mm-hmm. Now Kia's got a sound. I don't know what it is. Genesis sound because my mother used to have one. On all Hyundai and Kias for I want to say past 10 or 15 years, whenever they started doing it, I want to say it was around 2010-ish, they started having it where it would be like even on your like crusty like. You know, 5-pixel display in the dash, it would play a little animation and it would play a sound. Now, a lot of car companies do this. GM has done it for the longest, I know, with the sounds in the car because they were like the first ones to play their chime through the speakers. So you get that stereo, like bong, mm-hmm. bong, bong. And the Ford does it now. A lot, BMW does it. Like a lot of people do it now. But
yeah,
it kind of goes hand in hand with that because the one you used to do, if you would go into my Moshe Sonata, and it was like when the new one came out, it was ooh, very exciting. You'd go mm-hmm. up, unlock it, open the door, sit down, close the door, and it would go. Da-da-da-da-da. And then it would say like Hyundai. Genesis uses that sound now, rearranged into like more of an orchestral sound, which is
okay.
cool. But the thing, it brings me back to BMW. And I think BMW is one of the, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not very old, so I don't have a lot of history on this sort of thing. But BMW, I think, is one of the earliest firms to do this sort of thing with their cars. We're really getting into uninteresting territory here, but
hell yeah, that's what we're here for, baby.
For years. And I the reason this came up is I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and she's originally from Germany,
mm-hmm.
and she and I both somewhat into cars, both know a lot about BMW, and we're just talking about it one day, and this is a while ago, but the sound came up and I was like, oh yeah, those BMW ads where it goes dun, 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 dun. That's how the new sound is.
Okay.
And she was like, what do you mean? It goes bong, bong. And I was like, what? Like, no, it doesn't. Not mm-hmm. what? And she was like, yeah, it does. So she should be on here. I mean, I haven't talked to her in a long time, but I was like, she and I went on YouTube and spent like half an hour looking through videos of people screen recording the ads to try and find it. And we think that the sound changed around the era of the F33 series, which is the last generation just gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they changed it is in German, in America, do you know the tagline from BMW?
No.
Sheer driving pleasure.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
And it goes, da-da-da-da, and then it says sheer driving pleasure, and that's the ad.
Yeah.
It used to go bong, bong, and the reason it did that, and did it in Germany for a long time, and they've done it since like the late 90s, I think, and mm-hmm. I thought they were going to keep it forever. I vaguely remember it. When we started talking about it, I vaguely remember it as a child. But it would get, and I'll show you this after, so you can see what
okay.
I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But they changed it because the tagline in German is Freude am Fahren, mm-hmm. which is like the joy of driving. I guess technically that means like sheer driving pleasure, but like I think the better translation is like the joy of driving because I think that's better on their brand. It's less pretentious. Nowadays, sheer driving pleasure works for how their cars are. It's so fucking pretentious and annoying. But and it would go Freude, and then it would say am Fahren.
Oh,
and it would go bong,
yeah,
bong. It doesn't really work when you do it for other markets.
Yeah.
So I assume like kind of like how Lexus was set up for kind of the U.S. and they're like luxury car. Blah, blah. I want to say they probably changed for that, but I think it's worldwide now, and it's just it's interesting to me that meeting had to happen.
Yeah,
that's the biggest thing to me is like someone decided this is the sound of BMW.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, our old one, not good.
That's an important thing. Like for them, right? Like, I don't think it would just be one meeting is the thing. I think there'd be several meetings. I think there'd be a lot of people involved.
VW, you know, did it too recently. I could keep going on this because VW is like, dun, 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 Volkswagen. It's a woman saying it. And the reason they do that now, because before it would just show the logo and would go, Das Auto.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That was their shtick, and it was that guy's voice.
Das Auto.
Because of Dieselgate, and I read into this like a little bit. Because of Dieselgate, they fucking reshuffled like their whole like C-suite, got rid of a bunch of people, changed stuff. They were putting these ads out for some of the new cars that like people in Germany were like, that's hella racist. Like there was doing a lot of shit like simultaneously that they got in trouble for. So they said, fine. Fuck Diesel. We're going EVs. They're doing a lot with it.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've seen like it's pretty impressive how much they've gotten out of their chassis they're making. But then like they go, oh, we're gonna change the tagline, we're gonna redo the ads. They redid their logo, they made it lighter, they made it thinner.
What this reminds me of is Japan post World War II. They rebranded as a country, and they're like, we're gonna be cute now.
Exactly.
Like that's what Volkswagen did.
Yeah, pretty much, because now it'll just go ding, 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 Volkswagen. Like that's but the thing is, I know that now in my head.
So friendly now, yeah.
That's what they're going for, and that's how like you reposition the brand. So I get it. It's just like, I think it's funny that in this society that's something that someone has a job to do that.
Oh
like,
yeah,
that's awesome. Like I want to be the guy who makes the chime sound. Hans Zimmer did them for BMW's car interiors.
That's
or Rolls Royce or
so
something.
Crazy.
Yeah, because you get them now and it goes bring. Actually, it's changed. I don't know what it is now, but it's wild like that they do so much for these sounds. And I just thought, I was like, oh, that's cool that Hyundai is doing that kind of thing now, especially because they poached like all the old BMW people. Like it's just so funny to me that's the thing now. And I thought it was cool, and I appreciate Hyundai's approach to it in the way they're kind of like same thread of notes doing it in different things. BMW's to me is iconic because they've done it for so long. Yeah, maybe I'll play it and you'll know it, but it's just that kind of a thing. I was like, okay, that's really it. I just was like, that's cool. I remembered this thing. I forgot about it. I was not sober, just watching videos of car advert taglines. Audi sounds like a heartbeat. Porsche's is like supposed to be like cool. Like it's kind of dumb, but like it's just there's so many car manufacturers
sound
that
like
do
a
it.
Leather jacket.
Yeah, or like golf. That's what it sounds like. Golf. If you have a Porsche.
Oh, yeah.
I don't, it's not
playing golf.
Yeah, exactly. Playing golf.
It sounds good. Like calling your caddy over to.
Yeah, you go, hey, that's the noise. Jeeves. It cuts off. But anyway, so if I ever, whenever I come to power in my mind and make a car company, or when we do that, you know, like we talked about.
Definitely will happen.
I'll come up with that and make it for the tagline. It's so funny. It's just. That whole marketing stuff they do. Like, I could...
Jacob will be gone for, like, a month.
Yeah.
And come back with, like, three notes. He'll be like,
it's perfect.
I've perfected it.
Oh, shit, I hit my mic. But, yeah, I just was like, oh, yeah, this is good content for this podcast.
Oh, great. Yeah, we fully into uninteresting. It's so uninteresting, yes. I'm not even interested.
Yeah, David doesn't even fucking know.
Sorry,
what I'm
no, it
about.
Is cool. It is cool. Not something I look at typically.
I might throw those sounds in here if I edit this. We'll
oh,
see.
Yeah, that'd be great.
If I don't, use your imagination or look it up on
YouTube. I think
YouTube.
You did good impressions, frankly.
Thanks, Chief.
Yeah, speaking of BMW.
Oh, no, not again.
I.
The BMW G60 M, whatever the fuck that title was.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be like that. Preface to this, like, I'm probably not the first person to say this, because as I was doing research for this, I came across a Doug DeMuro video, and that's one of the first things that he mentioned about this BMW.
Yeah.
It's the new BMW 2 Series.
Yes.
And...
Which one?
We saw the other. Well, I mean, I think any of them really.
The coupe, like the mini front drive one, or like the OG.
No, the OG one. The, okay. Or the rear
the coupe, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the coupe.
Sorry, the real coupe, not the grand coupe.
Yes, the
which
real
is a
the
four-door
two-door
with a sloped rear.
Coupe, real wheel drive.
Oh, you mean a coupe?
Yes, that one. The one that's a real coupe.
Yeah.
Anyway. We saw one at a car show the other day, by the way, and I just kind of like skimmed over it. I was like, yeah, it looks, I mean, that's all right.
Oh yeah. The new, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a new two series. I don't think it was like the M2, whatever. It was a two series.
Was it one of the M1s that isn't actually an M1?
It
but
might
they
have
put
been.
The badge on it, which is sacrilege, but they're doing it themselves now.
Dude,
so.
I literally don't care.
I just,
no, I mean, I get you, but, But anyway, I saw one of them driving, and this is something I hadn't noticed before in photos, and I didn't really pay enough attention at the car show because there's a lot of other cool shit there.
Yeah.
And it's really like not as noticeable, I think, in photos, but in person, I noticed it much more clearly. The fender flares, I know I'm not the first person to say this, the fender flares, they are flared. They're pretty intensely flared, and they are more flared on the M1, but the other ones also have pretty intense looking fender flares.
Yeah, they're kind of, they're pretty heavily styled cars.
Yeah, definitely heavily styled. And what's crazy about the fender flares, this is going to get a little uninteresting. they always do fender flares, right? Lots of cars do have flares.
Especially fenders. For the hot versions, the wide.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's something BMW has done for a long time. It looks cool, great. I don't mind it. Yeah. I don't mind this one either. It's just, I thought it was interesting. They do the fender flares. Usually when auto manufacturers do fender flares, they don't make them look like bolt-on kits.
No.
They make them look very smooth. Like it's smooth transmission. Yeah,
they just redo the fender and the quarter panel.
Yeah, exactly. But it like, it kind of smoothly transitions to that flare. It's not abrupt.
Yeah.
The 2 Series, it has like almost like abrupt, not quite abrupt, but pretty close to abrupt creases where the flare starts and ends.
I have seen that. No, I know what you're talking
and
about.
And it's not the only car to do this, right? But it's the only car to do this in a really long time. Like there was box flares and stuff in the 80s, and those were quite abrupt.
Box flares coming back.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. Yeah. If you look at the rear fender flare on a 2 Series, I got a photo pulled up. That's a box flare, man. I mean, it's a little, it's a little softer, but it is kind of a box flare.
I hate to say it because I've really been off on everything they've done in the past few years, but David's showing me a picture of it's like the M235i or 240i or whatever the
240i. Yeah. Good eye.
But it in black, that's actually kind of a good looking car.
It doesn't look as bad, frankly.
Oh, I hate that I said that, though.
I will say that the non-full M1s
look better
than the M1.
Me too. Across the board, across the brand.
Yeah, frankly. Which is kind of sad.
I know.
Whatever. Okay, but these fender flares, they did it in the 80s, right? Like lots of companies had like crazy box flares. Think of like Mitsubishi Sterion. They had a narrow body and a wide body version of that, by the way.
Oh, yeah,
the later
right.
ones
they
were
did,
wide body.
Yeah.
They gained a few pounds and they had like this. They looked like modified from the factory.
They look really good, though.
They look really good.
Yeah.
I love Mitsubishi Sterion.
Yeah, if you can find a Sterion or with a Conquest or whatever, I don't know if they did it too, but yeah, if you listen and can find one, it's kind of like, I want a Miata, but I wanted a hard top, but I don't want a 944. You get the Sterion.
And they're, the crazy thing is, off topic, but they're 2.6 liter turbos. It's a massive four with
a
turbo on it.
Foreign,
you think it's going to make a billion horsepower. They do not make
not much.
It's such a shame.
Is it like 170 or something?
Oh, dude, it's really bad. I don't know. It's like, I was really trying to shop for one because I was like, dude,
I remember.
Sick. But then I was like, this makes no power. I mean, maybe, I bet like there's mods for it and stuff. But it's, again, it's not the 4G63. It's another engine. So I don't even know how
it's
much
like
aftermarket.
It's kind of like the Mark III Supers where you go, oh, cool. And then it's the
7M GT,
instead of the 1J.
It's not turbo.
It's
like
cool
that.
And it has its own following, but it's like an eighth of a quarter of the percentage of the rest.
Yeah,
which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, and it's just like, I kind of like got on a spree of sort of like looking up other modern cars that I know would have like flared fenders, and none of them have them abrupt like this.
Nah.
And I'm not gonna hate on it because I don't really know how I feel about it. The crazy thing is to me is that the front ones are box flares, the rear ones are box flares, but the front ones aren't box flares. They do have an abrupt like end to them, not as abrupt as the rear, but they sort of taper off at the top, which is kind of funny because it looks like if someone put like, you know, got two different Rocket Bunny kits and put the front set on the front ones and the rear set on the rear ones, like of the two different kits. And so that, I think, is what weirds me out about
it
the most.
I didn't think of it like that.
Because the fronts, like, they look like how that, like, the back end over almost, like, hovers over the wheel. It looks like a Rocket Bunny, like, S-chassis kits and stuff.
Yeah, they're really wide ones that are big.
Yeah, and I don't know, that like that taper that they have to them.
Yeah,
and then the rear one is like very reminiscent of a box flare, like on the E30
M3. Yeah.
You know, which is, hey, I don't mind it. The interesting thing is that, I mean, like BMWs all the time, they're used for drift, and drift guys love like putting crazy flares on it, like a lot of style. I wonder what they're going to do with this, because it already has
them in there.
What looks like aftermarket flares on them. So I don't know how it's going to look with actual aftermarket flares. Is it going to look like a flare on top of a flare, or are they going to cut back wide enough to make, like, I don't know.
Because the car's so new, there's not a lot of that out.
If you look at the front flare, that taper extends all the way to the door. So it's really big. So I have no idea what it's going to look like. And I have a photo of, this is like the M 240i, yeah. And this is the M2. The flares are bigger, but they both have that same like kind of crease to them. Mm-hmm. Also something I noticed, I think the worst part about the M2 is the front.
Yep.
They kind of like made it more muscly, which it's is sort square. Of interesting take.
It's square, but round.
But like, if you quickly swap between them, like I've got two tabs up and I'm swapping between them, it looks like the M2 has like a hood that's covering the grill. You see, like it's got the chrome on the M240i, and yeah. Then I switch over to that one. It's like the foreskin edition of the regular 2 series. It looks like it's got the foreskin on and it's covering the chrome. I'm sorry, there's a really gross analogy.
Could you imagine walking to BMW? Hi, yes, I'd like to lease the foreskin 2 series. Foreskin edition, please. The uncut 2 series, please.
Yeah, the. Anyway, sorry, that is really gross.
A friend of mine was looking at buying one, and I'm going to tell him that now and ruin it for him.
Oh, dude, he's... Yeah. Oh, man, that'd be so funny.
He just bought a house, to be fair, but...
I don't know. It's not the worst thing. There are definitely worse-looking BMWs out there, but yes. I just don't know why they had to, like, make it look like it's almost got a, like, lip filler on the...
It's too much.
M2. I think the regular one looks way better, even with, like, not as wide fenders. No, but people drift E46s.
I guess they do. You're right.
People drift the E90s too. Those are actually getting quite popular, because the E46s are now starting to like die off.
I can't believe that. Actually, sorry, them dying off. Absolutely can't believe.
People, yeah,
people paying a premium for them. I think that's gonna happen a lot sooner than I think it's gonna happen. The E46s, and I'm gonna go, wow, yeah. I'm glad I sold mine and lost money on it.
There's something
5 years
special
ago.
About the E46, just because I think
them a lot.
What's that?
I like them a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, like it's like. They're really pretty, man, and like yeah. they're kind of like a, they're like they look way more modern than the E36. They look so modern that they don't look like an old car today.
But they're old as fuck.
Oh yeah, it's really impressive. Yeah, I think they're really really pretty cars, especially the M. I think it looks great.
Yeah, the M3 E40. That's yeah. iconic. I mean, it's Need for Speed. I mean, it's
they got problems. I'm not gonna say they don't got problems,
no
but
shit.
You know, I think the E36 I've heard generally is a more reliable car.
Yeah, 46. It doesn't have like variable valve timing.
It was just like
stuff.
A simpler car.
It was a way simpler version of like the whatever. I don't know if it was CAN spec specifically, like actually using CAN bus, but like whatever version of their body control is way mm-hmm. easier. It's a lot like more like your Lexus.
Yeah.
And I say easier. There's obviously a lot going on. So probably not as much in the 3 Series, because the SC400 is like that's an expensive car.
Yeah.
That's an LC today, right?
It is, yeah.
So it's like if you look at that compared to a middling like base 3 Series, there's obviously still more. But it's the same thing now as it was then. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think they were a lot simpler.
You just did a soft launch on my drift car.
Oh yeah, David's
yeah, we were
trip.
Talking about a long time ago now, we were talking about the cars we
yeah and the thing
have
is,
now acquired.
David and I cannot remember if we've brought up the Lexus in any previous episode, which I don't think we have, because
I don't
think you would have bought it. We might have talked about you wanting to get a drift car.
Yeah.
And if you are listening and you listened in the past, I mean, GG to you. Because, I mean, congrats. Wow, the final conclusion 3.5 years later.
I did get a drift car.
But he does have a drift car. It's very cool.
Yeah, I have
Talk about your Lexus.
I have a 1995 Lexus SC400. 400, meaning it's got the 1UZ. It's not got the 2JZ. I know, boo, right? But it wouldn't have been a turbo anyway.
It's a better combination.
I really like the 1UZ V8. I think it's a great engine. There's a like tons of cool stuff going on in the 1UZ. Do your research on your own if you want to know more.
Yeah, light, it's moddable, really, cheap, holds a lot of power if you throw it at
surprisingly
it.
Surprisingly light, yeah. And then like certain gens can hold a lot of power on stock bottom end and whatever. But they never came with a manual behind them. But mine has been swapped by a previous owner to have a manual. It's a W58 manual, which is out of some like older
Cressida?
Supras.
Supra.
Well, I don't know. They use it in a lot of stuff. That whole like W series, W54, 55, yeah, whatever, all the way to 58. They use it in tons of Toyota cars.
I've got the automatic equivalent of that in the Jeep, which they also use on all their cars, which is that Azen.
That's crazy. That's a crossover there.
Well, because I was talking to a guy who I was picking up some parts from, and he's like, oh, yeah, like, don't forget. Like, don't. He goes, I know you know that's from a 4Runner, and I know you know that's not going to break, but he's like, don't forget that main transmission unit, regardless of bell housing or what's attached to the back of it, is the same as a Supra. Mm-hmm. So you can just get the shift kits for that if you want to make this
so crazy
better. And I was like, oh shit.
What he's a
like,
weird
yeah.
crossover.
And I was like, oh yeah, you're right. And he goes, that's uh-huh. sick. Yeah. And they use a lot of transmissions and a lot, or it's the one transmission of a shit ton of vehicles. But anyway, continue.
Yeah. SC400, it has, I think like 273,000 miles on it.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a weird, it's a weird car because I know at times it's been loved by its owner, and at times it's been neglected by its owners. I have no idea how many owners it's gone through.
Okay, I was going to ask. I don't know if you know.
Yeah.
The Jeep, genuinely, I'm the sixth owner.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that car's been through the ringer. Anyway, sorry, keep going.
But yeah, so parts of it are in good shape, and parts of it have been replaced, but it did leak like a sieve. When I got it, and I have put in way more work than I would have liked to get it to where it's at right now.
It's really nice though now.
Yeah, now it's actually good. It's pretty good. Like yeah. I took it to a drift event recently, and I was just ringing on it, like yeah. really on it. What's crazy is that the temps stay super low.
It's just impressive because like every other manufacturer from that era couldn't do that.
It's crazy. The needle didn't move from where it's idle. It, from the idle temp.
Sick.
Insane. I couldn't believe it. Great drift car, good power. The only thing is it's heavy. It's like really heavy.
Heavy as fuck.
And it's quite complicated. Like at this point, Lexus was still like entering the American market. This is like the second car that was named under the Lexus mark. Yeah. And they were trying really hard. There's a lot of like crazy shit going on in there. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of complicated stuff going on in there. And
very clever, very over the top engineering.
Yeah.
The door hinges are double hinged, and it's very it's like wild, it's a bespoke yeah. piece of Japanese engineering for a door that weighs 1,000 pounds.
There is like several feats of incredible engineering just by like when you start like looking at pieces of the car.
And hundreds
like,
of
it
miles
was
of wiring.
Quite well. Oh yeah. Oh my god, so much wiring, dude. I mean this is before CAN bus and stuff. This is still OBD1. And
yeah, which means there's no it's CAN bus. Controller area network is what that means, like CAN. Yeah. It means that you've got different modules in all the different parts of the cars that all communicate, for lack of a better term, across one wire to each other.
Yeah. It was like two wires.
It's like two, but the difference is you're not trying to shove 80 wires in a bundle through something. It's like three.
Yeah.
And a plug. And, you know, it's now modern cars are very easy to diagnose and stuff like that. This is an entirely bygone era.
Oh, yeah.
And it's getting into what we have now, but like, you know, to walk before you run. And I've come over to help David work on this thing, and it's hysterical how many.
It is wild, yeah. How so much wiring. It's crazy. And it's also crazy because like there is a control module, an ECU or whatever you want to call it, for everything on that car.
Yeah.
Everything has like a little discrete computer that's specifically wired to it and gets its own power. And like it, they're hidden all over the car,
yeah.
under stuff, underneath the glove box, underneath the dash. Like, it's really crazy how many like little computers are just like scattered
chilling
throughout the thing. Yeah,
randomly.
It's crazy. Speaking of the cooling system, I feel like we've talked about this cooling system before, have we not?
I think we have. We've talked about the fan.
Yeah, I'll just say I did fix that. They have a hydraulically powered cooling fan.
I don't know if we talked about it.
You know, I'm just going to say it and whatever.
We
if
might
you hear
come back
twice,
to
you hear
we
twice.
Might look it up on our Google our own shit. it's like
about.
A hydraulic fan. It's wild.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of the reasons why I was able to cool so well. And one of the reasons why, if you buy one, it might cool extremely poorly.
Yes.
Because it has a really wild cooling system where the radiator fan is powered by a hydraulic motor
yeah.
That is powered through lines by a hydraulic pump that is on the accessory belt. So there's a separate...
But it's a closed... That's the thing. It's its own system.
It is its own separate system.
It's not using power steering. It's nope. not using any, like,
yeah.
you know, ATM.
Completely separate pump from everything. Yeah.
It's entirely... It's so overthought.
Yeah, no, it's really quite crazy. Like, not the only car to do this. There are like a few. I think there's a Jeep that might do it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I know some like industrial equipment does it.
That's what comes to mind,
which is pretty hilarious.
The tractor.
I don't know exactly why they did it. There's a few reasons that could have been the case, but either way, it becomes a really complicated system, especially since that whole system has again its own cooling loop to cool the fluid.
Its own controller.
To
like for pressure regulation, isn't there like a whole thing that
there
plugs
yeah
into
yeah
it
there's a there's
else.
A solenoid that like then controls the flow of
it's wild.
Yeah, and then like the bypass of the fluid, because whatever, it's really quite complicated, and on most of them that you find nowadays it leaks, like
yeah.
it's been through it, like the thing is like right kind of like in the center of the accessory cluster, it's like bolted to the block, so
yeah,
like, I'm sure it heat cycles pump. A bunch, and people don't like replacing it because it's quite complicated, and they don't really make that many parts for them anymore. Like, you can't just buy a new pump; they just don't make it anymore.
It
you have to buy
like
rebuild
every 2 years. There's a new revision or something.
Yeah, there are a lot of revisions to the pump as
and
well.
They did not make the car for what more than six years.
There's a lot of revisions to that car for like various parts that they just kind of approve over.
It's like how Detroit
years.
Used to do in like the 60s.
It's a pain in the ass.
That's what I know.
Because you know, you look up and you're like, do you have this year? Do you have that year? Is it one of the crossover models where it's crossing between a year? It's like the half year where they update it. It is a real pain in the ass.
It's
but
impressive.
I did rebuild it. It took a really long time. I
remember that.
But
yeah.
Now the fan fucks, man. It cools
it's
like
good.
Crazy. It is a really, really powerful fan. I mean, you should see the blades on the thing. They're huge. It's one giant fan. And yeah, man, the temps are great on it. It's surprisingly quite a good fan for drift because cooling is important.
I can't believe it does it like sideways. The reason is like David and I were like, he had finished a bunch of work to it. I think he put like the angle kit on by this point, and then we were
yeah.
like testing it out, and it was hot, and I was like, pfft, like I'm like, ugh, and the car didn't move temperature,
not at all, man.
And I'm like dying because it's hot, and like I get nauseous in cars. But I was like, what? How are we like? Why
Rock
does this
steady.
Go where I'm like? But then the converse of like my E46 would just overheat on a road,
yeah,
going nowhere. Fast with like no it's
crazy
it's
too, because like this is a car, I mean, designed by Japan, right?
Yeah.
And so it doesn't get terribly hot over there like it does here.
No, it does fairly well with US like,
but it is like one of the most over designed cooling systems ever. Yeah. Kind of to its own detriment because it is quite complicated, and it's like a big
to be fair
point. A lot of people convert it to electric fans, and total respect to that. I kind of wanted to keep it because I thought it was a cool thing.
To be fair, if you went out and like had the money just to go, yeah, I'll have an LC just like today or tomorrow, maybe do. Are you ever gonna work on it? No, you're gonna bring.
No,
it to the
of course not. Yeah,
so I think that's who's buying that car then. So it probably wasn't a concern.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. When you're buying the SC400 new,
but
there was no chance you were working.
Yeah,
on. Yeah, and so you'll let the shop
later.
Do. Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah. So
but actually, it's impressive to me. Honestly, even for the shit I own, where I'm like, the 90s was like, you know, it's a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's not 5-10 years ago.
Yeah,
it's a while ago, and like we have cars from that era. I can get a part tomorrow for pretty much anything on that Jeep, and you can for apart from like really niche stuff like that. For the Lexus, you can kind of do the same thing.
You can really. I went to O'Reilly's the other day.
Yeah,
just like. You know, not the O'Reilly's right next to me, but O'Reilly's like 15 minutes away.
Uh-huh.
It had a whole valve cover gasket kit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, $50 and there you go. It's right there. Like I didn't have to search, find anything special to do that.
Yeah,
no, certain really niche things like the, like that whole hydraulic cooling assembly, you know,
yeah.
That was like only on that car basically. And it's past its prime, and so now that you know, they just don't make it anymore.
You've become the guy. I don't know if you realize this, but if anyone listens to this, all three of you listening, and you're able to get in contact with us, and you happen to have an SC400 with this specific issue, and it's the correct year that David knows, hit him up.
I know a surprisingly large amount now.
Yeah, because I'm like, because you're
that's what you have to do when you actually need to make repairs on like a older car. I mean, 95 older car. Shit. Yeah, it's like you got to rebuild a lot of crap.
You have to know. That's the other thing. I found even this is not something that I'm necessarily worried about, but it's okay. Let me preface this. You and I are not professionals at this.
Oh God!
I think you and I are quite good because we've been doing this for.
I'm all right.
15 years, 10, 15
Dude, you should
years
see,
of your life.
I have a plastic baggie.
Yeah.
After I cleaned out my garage, I just moved out of a garage and moved into another one. I have a plastic baggie filled with fasteners used to be on the car, and they are no longer on the car.
Okay.
Keep in mind, this is from a lot of trim that I've taken off like interior parts, but I'm sure there are a few there that are mildly essential.
Like a hose clamp.
Go on. I'm no professional.
Okay. That sets the tone of what I'm after.
Yeah.
But I can't. If I wanted to go find someone to like work on the bug, it would be difficult.
That's true. Yeah.
And they made 21 million of those.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, even my. And I don't really know where I'm going with this, but it's like. I'm like, do I need to become the guy to, because everyone has like a guy, and I've heard even like Leno, like Jay Leno talk about it, cause all his cars, he's like, if you search far enough and you find something niche enough and some vehicle you're looking for, whether it's rare, like, and I think the example he was using is like early original Saabs and stuff. On those, he was like, there's always a guy who like owns
there
a
is
shop
always a guy,
and if they'll you get help deep, you out.
Yeah, if you get deep enough in the community, you'll absolutely find. The guy,
yeah.
And there's a shop in Fort Worth, Lexi Tech, that is known to do like
that
really
yeah, exactly.
really good Lexus work. Although they wouldn't touch my car because it was T-modified. They actually sent me to a place that does a lot of Z cars. I forget what it's called now, but it's also in Fort Worth.
They're a good shop. I know
they are a good shop.
They're right next door
to Texas,
Trackworks, which is also if you're in the DFW area and you're doing anything sporty, even if you put. Cut springs on like your daily go take it to them like
oh yeah
they'll, like with a lining it and setting it up and then even if you want to do repairs or like modifications stuff like that
yeah
they are the go-to place for anything like track related especially even on daily stuff because that's they did your coilovers on your 8.6 are like okay I complain it's hard I don't own it but like I've driven it and I'm like this is fun as fuck
yeah
it's set up nice
oh man
like it's you don't have to touch it is what I mean like
yeah,
you
no,
know
it's perfect.
they came and they're a great shop and then basically the one David's talking about I can't remember the name of it because I've been there with you
yeah
but they do it's mostly Z cars it's classic all the way up to the new ones but they're very good they are genuinely right next door in the same building so if you look up Texas Trackworks it'll be there and it's in like South Fort Worth in like kind of the old city but like it's good if you're in Dallas Fort Worth like it's free unpaid sponsorship it's mint like go there and get shit done to your car because they know what the fuck they're doing
absolutely and that Z shop they did you know the Lexi Tech recommend they're like hey they do like old Japanese cars they might look at it
yeah
and sure enough they did I needed a timing belt done and I really didn't want to fuck
do
with
yourself
it.
Pussy
dude
I did mine in an afternoon
you know, after dude the amount of stuff on the front of that car is a real pain in the ass but after doing the hydraulic pump for the cooling system that is one of the deeper things on that set so after doing that I was like man I really could have done this on my own
yeah
but whatever hey it got done unfortunately it was quite expensive because it's an older car you know
there's all this stuff
and
that,
there's
like oil leaks and everything else that you have to
tons of work and the thing's like super oily because it's probably leaked oil for like 200,000 miles like you know it is really dirty but they totally did the work and I mean they're the guys for me if I need some like really niche repair done they also welded my diff
they did
the
yeah
key, yeah and that's held up just fine so that's cool
that thing's sick and then I don't know, maybe we'll post some content of it or something once we keep going back into this, we come back to it. But bubble flares will look really good on that because it's got the right body shape for that, I think. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks very much for listening. This has been Jacob.
This is David. Have a good one.
Take care.